So this morning, we're going to reflect a little bit, okay? We're just going to do a little reflecting this morning. There's just some crazy, crazy stuff going on these days, right? A lot of crazy stuff happening. I mean, State beat Michigan in the Big House? It's a broken world. It's a broken world. But, you know, I mean, just some wild stuff going on, right? I mean, California? Just some crazy, crazy stuff. Thousands and thousands of acres just burned, scorched. Thousands of buildings destroyed. Many, many lives lost. Puerto Rico, Houston. I mean, just some crazy stuff happening. You know, just last week, a 35-year-old small business owner, husband, father of a 6-month-old and a toddler, freak accident. And he died. Just some crazy, crazy stuff. Last month was the Allegan County Fair, and I had the blessing of working a day with the CEF, the Child Evangelism Fellowship booth, sharing the gospel with kids and stuff as they moved through the fair. And there was a lady there from South Haven. She was volunteering the same shift, the same afternoon that I happened to be there, and she brought up some things that were happening in the world, and you know, some of these crazy things. And I have to apologize. I developed fall allergies last year. What is up with that? Crazy. But so I'm sorry for all that craziness. But she was bringing up some things that were going on, you know, in the world, and things that were happening, and you know, some cultural things, and she said, you know, you're a pastor, what do you make of all this? I'm like, what does that mean, you know? She said, well, you know, I just, you know, what's your take on it, you know, from the biblical standpoint, you know? And we won't get into that, but I said, well, this is what we know, you know, this is what the Bible has to say, and this is what we know from history, and so on and so forth. I said, but, you know, honestly, you know, she said, well, what do we do? Because that was the most important part of the conversation. She said, what do we do with knowing, what do we do watching all that's going on in culture today? The shifts that are happening. What do we do with the knowing, the knowledge of all that? What do we do with seeing all that's going on in the world, the disasters and the craziness that's happening in the world? What do we do with that? And I said, you know what? I think we lean into Jesus. I think that's what we do. I think we continue to draw near to God. I think that's what we do. See, God knew thousands of years ago that we were going to be in this time. You ever think about that? God knew we were going to be living in this time with all this stuff going on. He knew that there was going to be this incredible, disastrous explosion with internet pornography. He knew that we were going to have these amazing devices. Don't know what I did with it. There it is, right? That these walking around, because they don't have legs, they don't actually walk, but you know, they go in your pocket and you walk, right? So they're walking around. these walking computers that were going to make all of that so easily accessible. He knew that. He knew that. He knew how it was going to plague the younger generation. God knew that. I mean, the statistics are just mind-blowing. The number of teens that are addicted to pornography or that are using alcohol and drugs. Teens, middle schoolers. He knew that. And they're in the church. They're going to church. He knew that. See, God knew all this craziness was going to be happening. He knew what was going to be going on in our world. He knew what was going to be going on in this country with the attack on the family and marriage. He knew that. You ever think about that? He knew that there was going to be things happening that would just consume us. So if you would, open a Bible to Psalm 77. In the pew, it's on page 467. We're going to look at verse 1 through 14 this morning. Now, this is King David, right? This is King David, right? He wrote the Psalms, okay? King David, if you remember, he's that guy that lived and was tagged a man after God's own heart. That was King David. He's that guy that was tagged a man after God's own heart. The funny thing about all of King David's life is, if you don't know this, he was so far from perfect, it's not even funny. He wasn't perfect. By no means. But he says this in Psalm 77, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I searched out untiring hands. I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated with my spirit, and my spirit asked, 'Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?' Then I thought, 'To this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. King David had to remember. He had to remember how good and great God is. He had to push back on the dark times. He had to push back on all the craziness happening in his world. Because we just get so consumed with it. I mean, you've heard Todd mention this. He doesn't watch the news. If you watch the news, it'll really depress you. It'll really bring you down. We have to remember how great and awesome God is. And that he's performing miracles all around us, even in the midst of crazy tragedies. We have to remember. He's not the only one that God prompted to pen something for us today so that we would remember. You remember Paul? Let's jump to the New Testament. In Philippians, Paul, one of the favorite verses of many people, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. A pastor friend of mine says these words. You've got to correct. You've got to get rid of the stinking thinking. The stinking thinking. Because we get so consumed by what's happening in our worlds. So consumed. And you and I have to be intentional on remembering. It doesn't just happen. Does it? It doesn't. It doesn't just happen. Because we get caught up in the day-to-day, moment-by-moment situations and circumstances of what's going on in our worlds. I mean, and there's always something, isn't there? There's always something. Always something. I jumped in the truck last Wednesday out of camp. I had to borrow a vehicle from camp, so I took the truck out. Dropped off the truck, used the vehicle, took the vehicle back, jumped in the truck, start the truck, the battery light's flashing. The alternator went out. It's been sitting there for 3 days. How'd the alternator go out? Right? I mean, there's always something. There's always something. I know I get caught. I get caught in the cycle. I mean, ask these three. I get caught in the cycle of what's going on and just get completely overwhelmed and, you know, we have to be intentional. I mean, if David, a man after God's own heart, had to be intentional to remember, and Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, had to be intentional on remembering God's goodness, then why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? What are some of the things that we need to remember? John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you have accepted Christ, if you believe in Christ as your Savior, you have earned the right to become a child of God. No matter how pitiful our lives look in the moment, if we could just be intentional and remember that we are a child of the King of Kings, the maker and creator of heaven and earth, our minds and our hearts would be lifted right up out of it. In that very moment, we have to remember who we are. Who we are in Christ. Not who we were. Oh man, I have to forget who I was. But unfortunately, our brains don't work that way, do they? Todd said to me 4 years ago something that was said to him when he and Beth went on that journey they were on with breast cancer. He said, somebody said something to me. I'm going to pass it on to you. He said, your brain is not your friend. Your brain is not your friend. My brain is not my friend. We have to be intentional to remember who we are, not who we were. Not who we were yesterday, not who we were last week. We got to let go of that stuff. Remember who we are. Paul wrote in Colossians 1, 13, 14, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We have to remember in Christ we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven. In Christ, we have been forgiven. We have to remember that. We need to remember that. Just as the people of Colossae had to remember, we have to remember. We need to remember that we have been forgiven. In Christ, we have been forgiven for everything in our past, everything today, and everything in our future. But the devil wants us to hold on to that, doesn't he? Wants us to walk in that shame and that guilt. Why? Because he can distract us. He can keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And keep us off track. That's not who we are today. We have to remember that we have been forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." We have to remember that we are new. We are new people in Christ. When we believe that Christ died for our sins, when we believe that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. We have to remember that we are new in Christ. We're new people. We're new people. You are a new person. You can let go of whatever, whoever you were, however you lived. And you can do that every single moment of every single day. So when you mess up and disappoint your spouse, don't wallow in it. apologize, do something nice, and move on. Give her a flower, bake him some cookies, move on. Or vice versa, I don't know. You know. Don't sit there and condemn yourself. When you fail your kids, and they're nodding their head, I don't even have to look. When you fail your kids, I'm preaching to the choir, I know. Devil just wants to like beat you up about it for hours and days. Let you wallow in the guilt. Accept God's grace and know that you can let it go and move on. You're still in the running for Mother or Father of the Year. I mean, you know. You are new in Christ. You are new in Christ. John 10:10 says this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And have it to the full. One, we have to remember that we are receiving and what it is we have received and what it is we are receiving, because it's continuous. In Christ, you've received. You are receiving. It's ongoing. As long as you have breath and you're walking this earth, you're still receiving. You're still receiving. Countless blessings, unmistakable blessings. I'm so thankful that that God continues to remind me that I'm blessed. Because it would be so easy to just stay in the mindset of all the junk. But we're blessed every single day, all the time. And we're receiving those blessings continuously. We are receiving them continuously. Jesus said that he came so that they may have life and have it to the full. I mean, there's so many things that we could worry about, right? So many things that we could worry about. Will they accept me? Will they like me? Do I belong? You belong. We all belong. See, in Christ, you have belonging. You belong. The devil wants us to think that we don't. But you do. You belong. The devil wants us to get caught up in this stuff, you know, this material stuff. Will I have enough? Do I have enough? You have security in Christ. I mean, it doesn't matter what your bank account says, what your checking account says, what your 401 says. You have security in Christ. I mean, we have the most amazing retirement plan, right? It doesn't matter what the market's doing. We have security in Christ. We have belonging in Christ. We have acceptance in Christ. We have to just simply remember. We have to remember. Jeremiah told the people of old that God has a plan. That God has a plan for you. Not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. God has a plan for us. Not to harm, but to give us a hope and a future. We have a hope and a future in Christ. We just need to be intentional and remember. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the presence of your Holy Spirit, Father. I thank you for just speaking into our hearts and minds this morning, Father. I thank you for just continuing to remind us who we are in you, Father. I thank you that we can walk in the newness of who we are in you, Father. Father, I thank you that we can acknowledge the truth that we have security in you, that we have belonging in you. Father, I thank you that we can acknowledge the truth that we are renewed and new in you. And Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity, because apart from Christ, we would not. But through Christ, we have the opportunity to know and to remember your goodness, your mercy, your love, your compassion, your grace. And experience that every moment of every day. I pray these things in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.